Yes, I done upgraded my studio equipment, upgraded my sound. Had a great weekend this weekend. Just got back from taping the new season of BET's Comic View. Oh, yes. Hosted by Mr. Mike Epps. Brought to you by Kevin Hart. From the Heartbeat production, man, it was really cool, man. I was really honored and happy to be selected to do the new season of BET's Comic View. A little something about me when I first started comedy and got on television. BET's Comic View was the first television appearance that I had. And it was a true full circle experience. Got out to Vegas. It was great. Heartbeat weekend. Got to see Kevin. Hung out with Don Cheadle. You know, shout out to Naeem and Spank, the Plastic Cup Boys. It's always a good time. And the Grand Coromino is rocking. Very, very good tequila. They hit us with a couple of bottles. Rooms were great. Everything was great. So shout out to BET and Heartbeat Productions for such a wonderful, winning weekend that I had. No complaints. It was hot as hell. It was hot, man. Welcome to Vegas. We're talking about 110 degrees. We were in a damn oven. Like, people was trying to get me to come out to them pool parties and shit. I'm like, nah. I'm cool, bro. I don't need to just sit and bake in the sun like a damn piece of meat. I mean, y'all wasn't even in a pool. In the 115 degree heat, y'all niggas was soup. Y'all was just meat in a bowl of soup. Everybody was gumbo in Vegas this weekend. So I stayed my ass in the hotel, stayed at Resort World. Very nice rooms, man. They had about 40, 50 restaurants in there. I had a real big breakfast. Haven't been eating a lot, though, man, because, feeling gluttonous or something. Like, just too much food is just like, dude, let me turn this mic down a little bit. But too much food, I just had to push it away. It was just this big plate of meat and eggs and potato. And I ordered it. It was like one of them skillets or something. And I couldn't do it. You know, I had to eat light out there because it's just too hot. When it's that hot, you don't need to eat all that goddamn food. It's just too much. It's too consuming. It's too draining. You become lethargic. So all I ate while I was out there, I just had me like a little bit of sushi. That was good. And then we had like some tacos, but it was great. The show was good. They taped 4 episodes of the show. You will see T.I., Tommy Davison, shout out to Nav Green, Jay Ski, K Dub. Shout out to all of them, man. Show love in the world for all the comedians that got on Comic View. And for those of you who didn't, trust me, your time is coming. Hopefully, they will renew it for another season. So Don't fret. Everybody will get a turn. You know what I'm saying? This was my second time working with BET, and it was great. It was a lot better. I mean, my first time was the most exciting time for me to do Comic View. That was in 2005, probably about 75 pounds ago. I taped. I had hair, no glasses. I wore like the polo because that's when Kanye was doing this thing. I was big on polo and the big white shoes, and I came out super, super nervous, a young gun in comedy. And they called that the Comic View. What did they call that? The New Jack. I was a New Jack in the New Jack spotlight, and they ended up running my Comic View clips all over BET. I was on every commercial, and it showed my family that I was a comedian. That's right. It really showed them. That's when people started to believe in me. I was a comic, and the gates just opened up, and that was almost 20 years ago. Almost 20 years ago, man. It's 2023. I taped that in 2025. And everything comes full circle. Even with me and Mr. Epps, we got to hug one another and just show love. you know, because there was some trauma endured, you know, we had our issue. It's repaired now. You know what I mean? It was love in the room. It was love in the house. And, you know, I don't have no complaints, man. But it's just funny how God and the universe works. And I also want to say to the comedians that hated when I had that altercation in 2014, I didn't forget. I didn't forget. I'm a petty Virgo bitch. And I screenshotted everything you said. And for some reason, a lot of you guys aren't working. You're not doing any television, you're not doing shit. And I'm saying this because I want you to feel it. And I hope that it hurts your feelings, because I want you to feel the pain that I felt when I was being ostracized in that moment, when I was being condemned in that moment. When you said, hey, he can never come back to Uptown. When you said his career is over. And since then, Hulu show, writing with Amy Schumer, touring, doing all the comedy clubs. Miller Lite champ, everything is working along. And I just wanted to just bring this testimony. Praise God. Let's just praise God. Give him the glory. Give God the glory, okay? Praise him. Praise him for what he does and bringing everything full circle and bringing it back together. And that just goes to show, man, with faith, belief, hard work, and determination, you can make it out of some dark days. So I want to talk about a few things. First of all, the YNW Melly murder trial. Really interesting. So YNW Melly, if you don't know, he's a rapper, and he's accused of murdering his two friends, where he got into a car, got into the back seat with those guys, and just blew their brains out. And then he went, he called a friend as he was sitting in the back of the car to come shoot the car up to make it look like a drive-by shooting. And then he went home to change clothes and I guess began to rap a new album. So he's in court right now facing the death penalty. I want to say I personally hope he gets it. I think they should just let him out in the field and somebody just fire shots in the back of him or something, because he wiped out two black people. And I hate black on black violence. I believe when you kill your own, to me, you're treacherous and you're worse than any white man, because you're working behind enemy lines. So I'm putting my money on YNW Melly going down. I'm going to have a big celebration when they give him the death penalty. Hopefully I can be there and watch. If you guys need a pharmacist to mix up the lethal injection, I am the one to do it. I will get my license in Florida and come down there. We can mix that cocktail up and get ready to administer that. That's right, because he has to go. Sometimes you got to put people down like rabid dogs because they don't deserve to be in society. And if this young man is to walk, that would be one of the biggest detriments to our community. Because that would signal to the other youth, which is what is signaled now. If you see in rap music, right, the way rap is going, in murder, murder, kill, kill. And what happens in the ghettos, in the hoods, a lot of these kids look up to these rappers and they want to have that same success. They want the bitches, the glory, to shine. So if I see little Tony shoot two niggas, I'm, you know, looking up to little Tony, and he shoots him and he gets his rap deal and he's making millions of dollars. That's going to make me want to become like little Tony. And it's just a perpetual cycle. And hopefully we hold YNW Melly accountable for his atrocious actions. And to all of those who are against him going to jail or being murdered, against him going to jail and receiving the death penalty, which he by all means should. You know, the insanity of people, not only the insanity, but the ego of people, because some nigga made you dance or had a great song. He ain't no way he could do that. He ain't do it because he made me happy one day. Let me tell you something. No, his ass did it. They know his ass did it. Ain't no way them bullets just, they didn't even, the bullets that hit them boy, them babies in the back of the head. He was sitting in the back seat when he fired both of the shots. They didn't come from the outside. And what happens is when y'all do these crimes, so when he shot both of them in the head from the back seat and they slumped, and then he calls his friend to come shoot up the car. Well, the thing he didn't take into consideration is the way the bullets are exiting and dropping on the floor in the car, making it basically impossible for these killings to happen outside of the car. You're going to have to prove that somehow the bullet somehow magically went through the windows of the car without breaking those windows and got in and hit both of these kids in the back of the head as you just sat there and magically nothing happened to you, but you went to go change clothes. So you're going to feel it. And his last name happens to be Demon. So nigga, you're going to be definitely on Demon time. I wish I was the judge because I would make it a game show. I would have Steve Harvey host. And the name of the game show would be How Much Time Do You Think You Should Get? Okay, so the way the game show would go after we examine the murders and everything you did, I would sit as a judge and say, how much time you think you should get? And we would wait for you to answer. Everything will get quiet and we would wait for you to answer. And when you say 5 years, we would all erupt in laughter in the courtroom. Everybody would burst out laughing. Tears would come down our eyes. And that's when Steve Harvey will bust through the door with the Family Feud music playing. And he say, his ass, hey, y'all, his ass thought he getting 5 years. Ah! And everybody dancing and shit. And then you get the death penalty because that is what you deserve, sir. So that's that. And to, you know, rest in peace to those children and their family. The father, he had talked. And if it was my son, it's no way. I'm going to have to come see about you. I mean, it's just no way I could live knowing you took the life of my child and you somehow got off because you have money or some powerful attorney. No, 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 no. I will be willing to sacrifice my life for yours. But we won't have to do that because he is definitely going down. There are Vegas odds right now of him being convicted. Those odds are in the favor of him being convicted with underdog odds of him getting off. So he's definitely going down. Only 8 jurors need to find him guilty out of 12. And that's definitely going to happen. So he'll be sitting, and let this be a lesson to the youth, to the children, and just to the people, like all this street shit, which is killing us from within, right? Like, I detest all that gangster shit, all the ideologies of being a gangster, being tough, or any nigga that oppresses his own kind. I detest it. I find it disgusting. And I hate those kinds of people because they're just treacherous and cancers in our community. And we have to get rid of them. You know, we definitely have to get rid of those people. And I'm going to keep it moving. Larsa Pippen, if you don't know who that is, that's the ex-wife of Scottie Pippen, who is now dating Michael Jordan's son, Marcus Jordan. Which is really tragic. If you know, Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen were like Batman and Robin. I grew up in Chicago on the South Side. These brothers did a lot for the community, a lot for basketball. It was a dynamic duo in basketball. And Scottie was married to Miss Larsa Pippen as Marcus was a child. And, you know, when they talk about hoes winning, okay, This is a tragic win. When they talk about the power of hoes, This bitch is the fucking Thanos of hoes. She's the Thanos of hoes. The way she was able to infiltrate the Michael Jordan, you know, go from Scottie Pippen and infiltrate the Michael Jordan family. And what's most tragic about this is Scottie has to do a lump sum settlement of his NBA retirement money with this bitch. It is so sick, so tragic. She also says she plans to marry Marcus and change her name to Jordan. Now, a little history on Larsa Pippen. She was seen with Future because I guess Future fucked her because Scottie didn't speak to him as a child. So I think Future wanted an autograph of Scottie dissed him. So Future put his Gucci flip-flops on and went to visit Larsa and just tore that ass up. And now, I mean, Scottie doesn't deserve what he's going through. I mean, you know, Scottie has been saying certain things, saying that LeBron is greater than Mike and Mike wasn't the greatest player. And what I have is empathy because I see a man crying out. I see a man that is desperately crying out for help. I see a lost man. I see a lost soul. And then he got to give her half his NBA money. She ain't took no shots in the gym. This bitch ain't even never sweat. And all they kids grown. Why is the system set up like this? This is not fair for Scottie Pippen. The value that him and Michael Jordan were able to bring to the NBA, the trillions and trillions of dollars in value. These kids ain't getting these big checks without Mike and Scottie. Come on, man. And now he got to give a half. He got to give a half. He's sitting up there. And I want to say this, too. For Marcus Jordan to be 30 years old, 31, 32 years old, dating a 50-some-year-old woman with four children that was once your auntie. It shows that Michael Jordan had to be a horrible father. He couldn't have been a good dad. He wasn't in these kids' lives. I mean, because I'm going to tell my, like, if I'm Michael Jordan and my son start messing with Scottie's wife, I'm like, son, you can't do that. Okay, if you do it, you can do what you want. You a man, but I'm gonna have to cut you off. Okay, you'll have to cut you off. No. You're not gonna be in charge of the Jordan franchise because it's principles. It's principles. It's too many women in the sea. Let's just have some respect for what me and this man have built. You know what I'm saying? So no. So my prayers go out to Scottie, and then to Marcus, you didn't see the interview she did when she said that Scottie was fucking her 9 times a day, every day, for 20 years? Nigga, his jersey is hanging up in that pussy. Like, it's in the Pussy Hall of Fame. Like, it's a Scottie Pippen jersey in her uterus. And you just sitting there, like, what is going on? What is going on? I need to know. Marcus Jordan is worth millions of dollars. All these beautiful sisters out here that are single, no kids, professional. And this is what you choose, Marcus. God damn. God damn, Marcus. Be better than that. So I'm a move. And yes, if anybody say, burn your business, no. These are public figures and I'm going to talk my shit. So I don't care. But it definitely, when I see them together, it definitely makes my ass itch. So for him, that's what it is. Somebody just text me a contract or something. Moving right along, something was interesting to me. People were celebrating a black man owning a Chick-fil-A. It was like a black Chick-fil-A owner. Something they were saying on Twitter about a black man owning a Chick-fil-A. And I'm about the truth. Okay. I have this inner Virgo in me, and my inner Virgo always makes me speak truth. Even if I come off as an asshole, I do it out of love, out of kindness, and out of honesty. So the honest part about him owning a Chick-fil-A is that it's false, because there's no such thing as a Chick-fil-A owner. Nobody owns a Chick-fil-A, white, black, nobody. The only person who owns Chick-fil-A is Dan Cathy, the founder, and his family. You are a owner operator. They blur the lines with the words. I think the most genius and the most brilliant thing Chick-fil-A has been able to do is to sell people a managerial position where they nail your personal finances and assets to a cross. So let me explain what I'm saying. So when it comes to being a Chick-fil-A franchise owner / operator, is a very low barrier to entry. You need $10,000. However, you need to go and do a lot of interviews and do trainings, and you need to be picked. So not only do you need to go through that, they have a very, very low acceptance of quote owner operators. So a lot of people don't even make it, like, because they only do maybe 100 new Chick-fil-A, 100 new Chick-fil-A openings a year or something like that. Now, with that being said, with that $10,000 that you need, Chick-fil-A does most of the heavy lifting for you. But you have to put your own finances up, your own personal credit. Okay. Now, typically, when you open a franchise, or if you want to buy McDonald's or Wendy's or something like that, franchise fees are about 5% of gross sales. Franchise fees are 5% of gross sales. Now, with a McDonald's or Wendy's, you need millions of dollars, probably 5 or 10 million in cash, liquid assets. It's, you know what I'm saying? The barrier entry is money, but you can own as many Wendy's or McDonald's as you want. However, with Chick-fil-A, you can only operate or own one Chick-fil-A at a time. You can't have any other businesses going. You have to focus on Chick-fil-A, and then you have to work there as a manager, operator, owner. You have to be there Monday through Friday. You have to be there. Now, the franchise fees of Chick-fil-A are 15% of gross sales, meaning if the store grosses $1 million, you owe Chick-fil-A $150,000 out of that million. Okay. Also, Chick-fil-A will take 50% of gross profit. So typically in a restaurant, I'm going to say, and it's the high end, you have a 10% gross profit margin. So out of the $1 million, you only got $100,000 in gross profit. And then they're going to take $50,000 of that. So off $1 million, you pocketing $50,000. And it might be a little more because, you, I mean, I guess if you pay yourself a salary, that's it. And you can't own it. You can't build equity in it. You can't pass it down to your children. If you decide to leave, they transfer the ownership. The company owns that shit. So shout out for Chick-fil-A for being so genius in selling people a job. I don't know how anybody would want to be a Chick-fil-A operator. I don't understand that logic. You know, if anything, I would open up a place called Side Chicks, a chicken shop, or we open on Sunday right next door to all the Chick-fil-A's. But yeah, could you imagine you bringing home $50,000 in net profit off $1 million in sales? Now, the 10%, like I said, was high because gross profit on restaurants is typically they run on rather thin margins of like not even 10%, probably more like in the range of 9%. But no, once again, I'm going to go back to saying nobody owns a Chick-fil-A. You're just an operator. You're just a person with a job that they tell you you own, but you don't really own. So Chick-fil-A is brilliant for that. Round of applause for them for fooling stupid people. And guess who is back? The great Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx is looking good. I didn't know what was going on with him. And look, shout out to Jamie Foxx's team and his family. they really love this man for being able to keep everything so secret. I just figured that Jamie was gone. I really thought it was curtains for Jamie Foxx, but he's not. He's walking around here healthy. And I'm glad he's healthy, because now all those vaccine people, or the anti-vaccine people who were saying, he got that shot, that shit killed him, man. It took him out. He had a stroke. That he walked around looking healthier than ever. And I don't know if it's a clone. There's a possibility it's a clone. Or maybe Jamie's doing this until iClone Tyrone comes out and he's just making a joke. He's drawing energy. But he's been spotted. He's been at Top Golf. He was playing some golf. Then he was out on a boat. Then he was driving somewhere and picked up a wallet for a lady and got back in the truck. So he is doing well. And what a team this guy. Shout out to Jamie Foxx's team. Because you don't find people that loyal anymore. So shout out to them. To be that loyal? Are you kidding me? That's a great thing. Nobody leaked anything. I know his daughter said he was playing pickleball. We thought she was lying. I guess she wasn't lying. But he looks to be in great health. So shout out to the legend Jamie Foxx. That would have been a tragedy if we would have lost such a great legend. I'm glad that he is okay. And I think this is it. I think we're going to wrap this up. Let's go over a couple of comments here. Let's see what we got. Got some comments, Christopher. I don't know what this means. You said El Polo Loco said 100,000. El Polo, I don't know what that means. What really? Okay. Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Let me see. Remember me, sir? You booed me when I was performing at Lab School 5 years ago. It was my second show. I'm better now. Well, that's what made you better, Bernard. Me booing you. That meant... Shout out to Bernard for keeping it going. Shout out to you, because let me tell you something, man. A boo is not the end of the world, okay? You're looking at a guy that will boo me constantly at the old Uptown Comedy Club, but I just kept going. That's what you got to do. You gotta get your ass back up and walk. Hey, y'all, your ass got to walk in your gift now. That's what your ass got to do. Walk in your gift. So shout out to you, man. I'm glad you better. I don't remember this, because I don't be booing nobody at the Laughing Skull, man. People don't even boo in there. I must have been playing with you or something, but if that helped you, I'm very, very glad to hear that, man. So that's what's up, man. Shout out to my Nana Heron out in Singapore. Singapore pulled up in the building. So that's cool. I hope you guys like this show. We're going to keep doing these. I ain't telling y'all. What you say? What am I using? No, we're not going to get into that until I really build this up and get some sponsorship dollars. So I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to hold that to myself till I can sell. Okay, so that's what's up. James Harding in the building. James Harding, not the basketball player, but James Harding down there in Spring, Texas. Shout out to him for pulling up. What's going on, James? James, brother Harding. And two, what I'm going to try to implement where you guys can call me, because I know I do a lot of videos on Call Me and all that. And we're going to make this a little bit more interactive, but that's good, man. I really like the feedback. Everybody's coming in. I don't see anybody from YouTube. Got a lot of my Facebook family in here. And also, too, guys, I'm going to be at, let me show y'all this. I'm going to be, oh, damn, I thought I changed that. What the hell? Well, anyway, let me take that down. I'm going to be live at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. See me live at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. I'm going to be there August 18th to the 20th. Okay. So get ticks at LeVarWalker.com/tour dates. Yeah. So let me add that banner to show you guys that. So that's going down at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. Pull up on me, man. That's going to be a great, great show. We're going to have a great time. Also, I got a show for the noobs. I know it's a conclave is coming up. I won't be performing at the conclave because for whatever reason, the brothers didn't want to meet my fee, but it's all good, noobs. You know what I'm saying? You know, we gonna meet it at the Golden Shores. We're gonna get it right. We're gonna get that money together. So shout out to the noobs, all the brothers that cop out the side. Shout out to them. Conclave is coming up in Tampa. Wish I could have made it, but I cannot come. Well, there is no money. I have wife, I have child, I must buy shoe, and I have expenses. Shout out to Anthony, Tony Zuniga. My brother, man, if y'all need a house in the Dallas area, y'all go hit him up, man. I appreciate y'all coming out to the show. Tony and Keisha, we all went to Xavier together, and his wife, Keisha, is a fellow pharmacist because I'm still licensed, but I haven't practiced pharmacy in a couple of years. Happy about that. But, you know, if I need to go back, I'm going to come back. Tory Johnson, you said I haven't come to Little Rock. Man, listen, I go wherever there's a demand and a check, bro. So if you got some or you know somebody and they want me to come to Little Rock, it don't take nothing but a deposit and travel. So that is that. So, guys, I'm going to wrap this up. This has been great. I love the sound that I got that I'm giving here. Wait, what else? Who else we got here? I can talk to y'all. What's happening, Reginelli Harris? I appreciate you loving the comedy, bro. Where you from, Reginelli? Where you from? Can you, if you're watching, just hit it up. But I guess I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to get out of here, break this episode up, put out some clips. And we're going to wrap this up, man. My brother out in Cincinnati, out in Nat Town. Reginelli, man, number love, brother. Appreciate you pulling up on me. And we're going to end this show. I wish I could. That's a little scratch I got there. But I'm going to end this show, and I'm sitting here playing with this thing. Y'all ever see them people that be on the show doing them when they committing to crimes and shit, like, but you can't see their face, they got that their face blurred.
Hey, well, when I walked into the store and I saw him shoot the man in the face. His name was Tony. It was Tony. Tony was the one that shot him in the face.
Oh, I love doing this now, man. So I'm going to do this, man. I'm about to bring these out every day, yo. We're going to be talking and having a good time. I'm going to wrap this show up, man. My name is LeVar Walker. This is the LeVar Walker Show. I'll see y'all tomorrow, man. I'm out of here.